Welcome to Magic's Big Adventure, a BelowTopSecret.com member podcast feature. In Volume 8 of Magic's Big Adventure, I wanted to talk about what I call the birth of Yoshiel. And anyone who's read my, read towards the end of the Sorcerer thread or the in Below Top Secret member predictions and so forth, you'll see this mention of Yoshiel. Well, what's that all about? And that's kind of a large topic, probably more than I can cover in 15 or 20 minutes, but I figured I should at least explain how that got started. And so our story begins last summer when I'm going through and meditating, and I met Vanessa and discovered Vanessa and was getting to know her better. And one of the things that came out of this, and actually this is an interesting point I think is worth bringing up pretty early on, is it's not entirely clear. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Muriel was Vanessa. But there's a possibility, Brother Avadar has mentioned this, spiritualism can be a very inexact art. It's a possibility that Muriel is not the same spirit as Vanessa. They seem the same to me. There's commonalities, but there's behavior that Muriel has that is inconsistent with the behavior that Vanessa has. There's like a different vibe even, but it's not so different that I would necessarily know for sure that they're different. One thing about Vanessa is, yeah, she's an angel. Well, she's also had past lives, and there's a lot I don't know about her. There's also a lot that Brother Avadar doesn't know about her. I'm pretty sure of that too. I mean, he talks about her, and he's aware of her, and I wouldn't say channels her, but communicates with her, just much like I do. But I think there's a lot about Vanessa that neither of us knows, because she's a spirit like us and has her own things going on, her own complexities, just like we do. I mean, think about yourself. There's more to you. I'm sure you know this. There's more to you than most people know about. There's more to you than meets the eye. And so it is with me, and so it is with Vanessa. So at this point, I don't know if Muriel and Vanessa are the same. So that's something to bear in mind. And actually, there's this whole persona, I guess you could say. I have these past life memories, and in my mind, they actually kind of take on personas. Like, there's the woodcarver mode, if you will. Like Rousseau, he actually seemed almost like a separate entity in a way. But he's in there, maybe this is like Sybil or something, the multiple personality disorder. And I actually had, concerns about that last summer, especially with Yoshi. Because as strong as Rousseau is of a personality, Yoshi is just over the top. He's the guy that was a rabbi during the Roman occupation. I think this was kind of around the time of Jesus, but again, I don't remember anybody matching that description, walking around . Although, what's interesting about that is in my memories as Yoshi, I remember doing a lot of things along the lines of what Jesus was doing. I don't mean like miracles, but this whole thing with the Yasidim, the Essenes, is a very spiritual sect of Judaism, where they're like the Sadducees, the Pharisees. There are these different sects of Judaism, and each felt, each had their own thing. And I think it was the Pharisees. These guys were really dogmatic, and it wasn't, Judaism wasn't a spiritual thing. It was a question of keeping the laws. Whereas the Essenes were very spiritual. The whole concept, as I remember it, of Essene teachings, actually, I think of it as Yasid, but we'll call them Essenes because it's Greek or something. But my memory of their teachings was that, yes, you keep the laws, the mitzvot, but you, if you don't have a spiritual connection with God, then keeping those laws was meaningless. And I'm pretty sure this was also the sect that Jesus was a member of, or at least believed maybe to be a member of. And certainly if you look back on what Jesus was saying, it's very consistent with what the Essenes were saying, which is, yes, okay, keep the laws, I'm not here to change the laws, what kind of things he's saying, not one jot or tittle. But if you don't have a connection to God, then you're nowhere. You don't really, the whole point is having a connection to God. And I think that was his message. Certainly, this was the message that Yoshi was also, and the other Essenes as well. They were very, very passionate about this. And I think that's why a lot of them were also members of the Sahal, the zealots that were, conspiring to try and get the Romans out. And actually, just a quick note on this. Well, sorry, I'm kind of deviating. Anyway, so there's this, and that's, by the way, the problem with Yoshi, okay? When I start thinking about Yoshi, this, I get wrapped up in it because Yoshi was very passionate about his work as a rabbi and about being a Jew and about, you know, the Romans. And, you know, I guess I should at least go on this tangent a little bit. There were different schools of thought among the Zealots as to how to get the Romans out. And some of them, like Barabbas, I think he's called, you know, in the Greek. He was one of the captains, basically, of the Zahal. He was, and his opinion was that the best way to get the Romans out was to harass and harry them militarily to the point to where they would finally just get fed up with Israel and leave. That was his idea. Yoshi and I think Jesus, and again, I don't remember a Jesus, okay? So I may have been like before or after, or I don't know. No, I don't remember anybody like that from that life. But Yoshi's idea, and there was a lot of, in fact, most of the rabbinical members of the Zahal were of the opinion that a better approach was to unite the people cohesively and in a spiritual way. They were actually looking for a spiritual revolution. And in the process of bringing Israel together spiritually, they believed that this would somehow or another, perhaps through divine intervention, you know, a Messiah. There's this whole thing about, you know, Mashiach, the Messiah, will, the Redeemers will come or whatever. But and so there was a spiritual side of the Zealots. And while they worked together, there was often a lot of disagreement as to how to actually get things done. So anyway, without going too far into the details of Yoshi's life, as I was thinking more about Yoshi, well, let's back up a little bit here. As I got to know Vanessa more, we got closer, and it was a very pleasant experience for me. It was the end of summer last year, and walk around, you know, I have trees around my house and stuff, and I would walk around the trees and, you know, stand out and watch the sunset. I got into the habit of doing that last summer. It was very nice. I love the sunset. It's kind of like my time of day. And in those walks and stuff, I would, you know, think about her, and I would feel her presence, and it was really nice, and I'd remember these things. And I guess that's one of the reasons why when I talk about Muriel, I remember so much from Yoshi's life. And, you know, that's the whole thing of calling Vanessa Sweet One. That, I think, came from that life because, and it's kind of embarrassing, but the reason I called her that was because I was absolutely crazy about the way her skin smelled, especially when, you know, people didn't take baths very often in those days. She actually took a lot more baths than most people, and she had money, but and more than me, I guess. But I liked it when she, and I hated it when she wore perfume. I just like, and I guess maybe it's a pheromone thing or something, but I absolutely went nuts about the way her skin smelled. I just loved the way her skin smelled, and that was my nickname for her. I called her Sweet One. Kind of silly, but that's what I remember from that life. And we had a very close relationship. You know, we were both, I think, kind of short, but we were about the same height, and we were just, we were inseparable. We really were. Anyway, so, you know, I was feeling a lot of this coming back to me, and particularly because, you know, when I look back at my life, I mean, the woodcarver life was wonderful, and you know, with my wife and Amy, who I believe is also Vanessa, we were very close and had a profoundly deep and loving relationship. But the Yoshi life, where the woodcarver life was profound and deep and loving, the Yoshi life was just like a Harlequin romance novel. There was just, we were all over each other. We just, like I said, we were inseparable, and we were very passionate about our, you know, we were married, it was all legal, and oh, we made the most of it. And a lot of this was coming back, and so we were getting closer together, and the more I would think about these things, I would feel her presence getting, it was almost like it was all coming back to me. And finally, it came to the point where she was just so close, and I felt so good when she was with me that I said, you know, I want you to be with me for the rest of my life, which essentially, in retrospect, was probably not the smartest thing to say, even with Vanessa, if it was her, because that's kind of a sorcery thing, you know, and in a way, it's almost like inviting possession. So my advice to anyone listening to this is to be very cautious about inviting spirits into your life. And so, again, it's not even clear at this point if it was really Vanessa or not, or some other spirit going by this name of Muriel. And so it's kind of confusing. And yet, remember, this is all very uncertain and quite possibly entirely imaginary and perhaps even pathological. But anyway, and she was actually reluctant, as I recall, at first. She didn't, you know, but the terms we came to was that we could terminate that at any time if we wanted to, and we got even closer. And as that happened, I could really feel her with me, I guess you could say, and the level of communication that we had just skyrocketed to the point to where we could actually, it was almost like being, we came to a point which I think of as joining, and I could actually feel her in my mind, if you will. And it was weird because I could like shift. And again, maybe this is just self-deception and probably, but I could actually see, you know, her or feel her, what it was like for her to experience being in my body. And it was really quite cool, actually. I really liked it. One of the things that as we got that close was that we started really being able to really communicate. I mean, we were like sharing thoughts now. And in that, one of the things that developed is we started looking at each other's memories. And that's where it really started getting weird, because I started, again, I'll try not to overdo the disclaimers, but, you know, so let's just go, disclaimers done. We were able to actually compare memories, and I would have memories of her, and by the way, it's really, that was a weird period for me, because I got kind of a feeling of what it's like to be a woman, so to speak. So it was almost like, I don't know, some of these comedy movies, you know, where people switch bodies. It was kind of like that, except it was just my body. She doesn't have one right now. And what happened is we kind of, I think, accidentally discovered that we both had identical memories of some things. And they were the kinds of identical memories that are like, you know, if anyone's had deja vu, you'll know that deja vu has a rather uncanny feeling to it. And it usually is something that you wouldn't think of as important, just some sequence of time where you see these events and you can predict what's coming next, or at least you think you can. And that's what this was like, except we were seeing in our own memories things that were not just similar, but identical, that she had in her memories and I had in my memory. And that, we both found that extremely interesting. Why? Why would we have identical memories of some things? And again, it wasn't, and these are all these random things too that, you know, so we realized that maybe this was something important. So, and by the way, what brought us together that close was the memories, I think, for Vanessa of being Muriel and for me being Yoshi. And this is one of the reasons why, and you know, Yoshi was a different person than I am now. You know, I think back and it's like, it's almost like a different guy. And yet there, I can totally see the seeds of Yoshi in me, you know, and I think it's the same way for Vanessa and Muriel. And that's why when she's in Muriel mode and I'm in Yoshi mode, it's like we're different people, but we're still the same people. We're just, it's kind of like going back and being the way we were then. And that was what happened, I think, last summer with us. And the whole thing with Yoshiel, I mean, Yoshiel is a little joke name that we made up. It was a combination of Yoshi and Muriel. And if anyone out there who speaks Hebrew, you might know that name is a bit controversial to choose. You know, the combination of basically Yoshia. Well, anyway. And if you don't know Hebrew, I'm not going to say it right now because it's too hardcore. But, sorry, I'll get over myself. Basically, Yoshiel means one who saves God, which, talk about ego. I don't know. We thought it was just a cool joke, but it's kind of funny in its own little way, I guess. Anyway, so we joined to that level and we made up that little name and said, okay, this is Yoshiel. You know, we are Yoshiel. And, you know, I was still me and I was still, in fact, you know, typing and narrating all this, I guess you could say, but it was like a part of me and a part of her were like in my mind and working. And as they worked and they started searching their memories and comparing them, it's almost like they drew a little curtain around themselves. It wasn't quite like that though, because I was actually consciously following this process of remembering at first, but it became too, it was too much to consciously go through all these memories because they were so disjointed. neither of us understood, and I don't think either of us still does, how memories are organized. And so when we, you know, this process of remembering was so eclectic, it was driving me nuts. So I kind of developed this response mechanism of thinking of Yoshi as a separate person and Mariel as a separate person, and kind of letting them go off in a room together, if you will, and sort through the memories. And then it's like background processing in computer science. I just, you know, let's fork a process called Yoshiel and run it in the background so I can continue to like be able to eat and sleep and get on with my life while they're doing their thing. But I could like kind of peek in, and it really was interesting because they found more and more correlations, and in the process of finding these correlations, they started developing a theory. And again, I know this sounds weird thinking about this stuff going on in my mind and talking about it, but you got to have some kind of mechanism for being able to talk about this stuff. So that's what I've got, for what it's worth. And as they were comparing memories, they started to realize that there were patterns. Not only did they find identical memories that each shared, but they found other examples of similar but slightly different memories. Things that were similar but not identical. And as more of those piled up, these theories, these postulates, if you will, started to emerge in this memory search, which was, you know, painstaking. This was going on over a course of several days. And what they/me kind of concluded from what they were finding in memory was that not only did, and they, you know, there were memories that each of us had from this individual stream, but what it boiled down to is enough memories from previous existences were identical that, and this is, by the way, this is where the whole process of the whole thing, you know, convergences and cycles of creation, and I'll get to that in a separate volume of this massive diatribe. But that's where that all came from, was this joining into and this creation. So when I talk about the prophet Yoshiel, well, I guess that's me. But at the same time, in a rather weird kind of alter ego sense, it's not me. It's kind of me and my soulmate in what might be an imaginary construct, but was very real for me last summer. And again, maybe that was just, you know, a psychotic episode, who knows. But I remember feeling, at least, and you know, I've written stuff down while I was in the thread. I don't think I was whacked. I was aware that there was, you know, this was a little odd, but I don't think I really lost touch, quote unquote, with reality. It was just a very weird mental exercise, if you will. So anyway, that's how Yoshiel came about. And I know people reading that, or you know, even hearing me talk about it, are more than justified to scratch their heads and go, all right, what the bloody hell is going on here? But that's the way I remember it. Of course, there were a lot more details than that. And it gets weirder. I'll be talking about that more maybe in the next volume, what Yoshiel was talking about. And I went into this whole prophet mode and all that. And again, this is classic, almost like classic manic episode stuff. So let's consider that that might be the case. Or we might consider that maybe that's what manic episodes are. You know, we could think, oh, you're just crazy. Well, okay, maybe you're crazy, but what's crazy? You know, crazy is someone who's not in tune with this reality, right? Well, if this isn't the only reality, then maybe someone who's crazy is crazy in the sense that they're tuned into some other reality, which might be just as valid as this one. I'm not necessarily, quote, you know, defending insanity, but I'm just saying that there are different ways of looking at what it could be thought of as crazy. And certainly I look back on this Yoshiel business and I think, oh God, that's crazy. But at the same time, there's a certain rationale behind it that I feel is worthwhile for me, at least, to explore. So that's what this is kind of about too, me talking about it and chewing on it as I recount it. Anyway, this has been volume 8 of Magic's Big Adventure, and pretty weird one, I guess. It gets weirder. And hopefully for anyone who's not asleep yet, hopefully I'll, you know, keep it coming. Anyway, this is Magic signing out for now.